either our Facebook church page or YouTube. Our encouragement is to see you come in and fellowship one day so we can assemble physically and be here for you the best we can. Amen. So with that said, we're located here at 1836 Dixie Street, Oceanside, California. We currently rent from the Friendly Church of God in Christ. You can find our space that we rent by following those church parking lot signs. More to come. Amen. I'm in the process of building some more. Let's go ahead and click on our calendar tab. As you guys know, I try my best to update this. And of course, if anybody out there who is computer tech savvy, you'd like to assist me with the ministry upkeep, that should be a blessing. Just let me know. But starting today through Wednesday, Pastor Josh from El Cajon has invited us to attend special guest speaker Dr. Sam Gipp. Tonight, my wife and I may not go, but tomorrow and Tuesday we will. If anybody would like to join us, that sure would be a blessing. Friendly heads up, giving you guys a week in advance notice. Next Friday on the 1st, we will cancel Friday Night Discipleship. On the 1st, we will cancel Friday Night Discipleship and also Saturday soul winning. My wife and I will be out of town, so please keep us in prayer for that. We're going to be going to Mexico to try to win my family to Christ, order some Bibles, and again, just trying our best to be a light there. So please keep us in prayer for that. The following Friday, on July the 8th, when, you know, after the Friday cancel, we're going to be having a youth night. So we're going to talk to some of our young people, Diego, and we're going to invite Gibby and, of course, little Matthew. I was stirred from just everything that they brought back, and you'll understand why later on. We want to pour into our young people the best we can, and we want to let them know that they can be a Christian, and it's still fun. It's still cool. It's exciting to serve God, but we also want to just be a blessing to them so that way they can have fun with us as well as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we were just talking with them yesterday on the car that we'd like to take them out bowling, you know, just something simple like that, having fun with our youth. So we're going to try to start planning this every other month on a Friday. The discipleship class will be canceled so we can take our young people out, and we encourage those of our other members to join just to be there in the atmosphere to encourage them. So we already kind of talked about it down the line, bowling and bonfire s'mores later on in the evening and just having fun with our young people so they can be encouraged, especially right now through the summertime where they're not in school. We don't want them to just be at home playing on the video games. We want them to be at church. We want them to have fun. So just keep that in prayer as we're trying our best to do some unique things and different things just so we can keep our youth excited, happy, energetic, to want to come back to church, and letting them know that we too, Christians, we have fun. Amen. We have G-rated fun. Amen. So just keep that in the back of your heart in prayer. And then, of course, as you guys know, on the 4th of July, I think a lot of folks have off. We're going to ask our church if they want to have a potluck. It's up to you guys. I'd be more than happy. We'd love to maybe go to a park or somewhere and just have a fellowship park. We can just come together and have a little barbecue, and I don't know. We'll talk about that. So if anybody has any ideas, just let me know. That'd be a blessing. All right, next ministry opportunities. Other than already telling you about our soul winning, next Thursday, we will be going down to the Sunset Market. So if you'd like to join us 6 to 7, that should be a blessing. Please keep us in prayer if you are unable to attend. Prayer tab, of course, the most important announcement that we can make here at church. We encourage you to please submit a prayer request if you're watching online. And if you are in-house, please don't be shy to text each other as members one of another just to ask for prayer concerning anything you're going through. But we want to be in prayer with you and be in prayer for you because we're a family. We're here to care for each other, and we want to talk to God on your behalf so he can bless you, help you within your life. Live stream links, of course, if you haven't already, please, I encourage you to download Podcast. It's a free app for the MP3 preaching and teaching. Facebook and YouTube, if you haven't already subscribed, like, we want to encourage you to share our messages so we can spread the Bible, Christian faith, the most we can here within our city of Oceanside. The more local people subscribe and share, how many of you guys remember the algorithms? YouTube will promote our church in the region because of all the tracking they do, right? All the VPN stuff. So that'll be a blessing. We're trying to get as much sound teaching as we can out there. And last but not least, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in your financial support for the work of service here. And all that is going to go back to the glory of God to take care of our bills, gospel tracts, missionary support, everything else of the like. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and show you guys a little bit of how yesterday went. We want to thank you for those of you who prayed for our Oceanside Parade outreach. I know some of you were unable to attend because of some health issues and work, and that's okay. Your prayers are more powerful. Amen. We need that up there in the heavenlies while we go down there and do the work in the physical here on the earthly side here. So glory to God. What an amazing time we had. Honor and privilege to serve our God. by going out into downtown Oceanside at the parade to share the gospel. The Lord blessed us with our family from Bible Berean Baptist Church Chula Vista to help pass out tracts at the parade. Glory to God for one soul who got saved. Others were encouraged, and a lot of others praised us, from the police officers and officials, for us being out there spreading the gospel. And so here's just a little picture of what that looked like. And are you guys familiar with the Oceanside Annual Parade, the Independence Celebration? So they've been doing it for a long time. And I remember going to it one time when I was young, and it was really cool, you know, very exciting to see all the parades, the bands, the music, if you will, and just the local city neighbors coming together to promote their thing, their business, and just, you know, hoorahing Oceanside and Independence and all that good stuff. But now that I'm a Christian, what better opportunity to go out there and pass out some tracts, because 100 people come. You know, it's almost 1,000 folks that were there. So here's what it looks like. At the end of Wisconsin, you guys know Mosin Gas Station right over there. That's kind of one of the staging areas. So if you guys can imagine St. Mary's School over there and over there in Dittmar, all that, each of those streets had staging areas. So they had the military, they had different organizations and all these folks getting ready to march down Coast Highway to the library. At the end of the library, that's when they, you know, finished and they walked back there. So church, we went down there. Praise God. We met here early in the morning. We prayed it up. We went out in groups. Some of us went from the library side and we started walking Coast Highway north. Others started over here and started walking down south. And we were passing out gospel tracts on the sidewalks. It was awesome. This is kind of a little bit of what it looked like in the morning. Now, what's surprisingly, this year, not a lot of people were there. Not a lot of people were there at 9 in the morning. 3 years ago, me, Brother Q, Brother Manny, and Brother Kenny, and the brethren from El Cajon, it was packed out at 9 in the morning last year. I mean, you couldn't even walk on the sidewalk. That's why we were on the streets. As you guys remember, I was telling you, you can walk in front of them because they're sitting down there. We're passing out flyers. But this year, maybe just because it's getting back into it, maybe, you know, they're going to start picking up again. But it wasn't as packed when we got out there. So literally, when we went down there, there was not so much on the south side of Coast Highway as much on the north side. What we ended up doing was just walking in circles. It was cool. We just kept going around the sidewalk. And as soon as we kept seeing new people, oh, hey, did you get one of these? And it's so encouraging because Felipe and Eileen went with us on this side. And when we went down there, they had already offered flyers to police officers and, you know, volunteers. And they're like, oh, y'all already got us. I'm like, oh, amen, that was cool. So that was a blessing. So as you guys can see, look how empty it was, right? This was early in the morning. It started getting more packed out, 10, 10:30, et cetera, et cetera. So again, people are just kind of hanging out there, sitting on the curb, waiting for everything to go down. There's my wife, Sister Katie. And then a lot of people would bring their picnic chairs. You see there? We would put flyers on the chairs and just leave them, just keep on walking. And then sometimes a lot of them also had, blankets. You know, they just chill. Put down a blanket, amen. And here he is. Proud about that, guys. Praise the Lord. Here's our church team yesterday. So we had a lot of folks come out here. Amen. It was a blessing. Brother Felipe, Sister Eileen, Brother Pro, he came back church yesterday, and he was here Friday. So that was all cool. Sister Joyce, she used to go to Brethren Josh's. She went out to Comic-Con with us and all the church family from Berean Bible Baptist. It was a blessing to see them come out. And little Diego, he's so funny. And here we are again, just all having a good time. It was an awesome blessing, amen. We had a great time. So that was a praise report. I texted some of the brothers, amen, that I have a weekly devotion with, the praise. So thank you for those of you who responded back. Appreciate that. And again, that was our biggest outreach. And of course, we're hoping and praying that the Lord will use those tracts to sow the seed. We may not see the immediate fruit today or in time to come, but the word of God will never return void. That's the promise. All we got to do is be faithful to just sow it. It'll get into their heart. Remember, Jesus said, Satan has to get in their heart to take that seed away. So if it's just a simple flyer and them reading it, man, the Lord can use that, amen? But he needs the laborers. So the more of our church can attend, Lord willing, next year, we'll get ready. We'll be out there ready to soul win. And they were all appreciative. Like I said, all the city officials, they were cool. They were praising us, thanking us for us being out there. It like we were received, even from police officers. They were thanking us for being out there. So we have all the thumbs up for, you know, going down there, if you will, being supported by our locals. So we do want to thank God for that opportunity, man. So that's our announcement. Okay, church, with that said, let's go ahead and get right back into where we left off in our basic Bible doctrines. Today we are on part nine. And with that said, would you please do me a favor and turn with me in your Holy Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. For those of you who know, we started a series for the summertime titled Basic Bible Doctrines. We are presenting to you some Bible teaching from the perspective of somebody who just got saved, right? We are approaching our studies from the perspective of, I just got saved, what's next? What should I do? What are some things that I should start doing as a Christian that God expects for me to start working on to change within my life? Perhaps habits, lifestyles, attitudes, speech, communication methods with people, maybe our dress. Part one, we talked about Christian dress. We saw from the Bible how God defined how he expects male and females to dress differently. That a biological male should not be putting on the clothing of a physical biological female and vice versa, because God created a male and a female to be distinct, not only in their body, hence physical feature, but in their presentation. Especially now as a Christian, he expects the women to be modest, the men to be modest, so we can honor each other. We don't want to display our bodies in a manner that can stumble others around us, and hence the covering of our bodies is important. For the women, of course, we encourage dresses or skirts, something not to outline your physical feature. That body there is for your husband to enjoy, man, if you're married, and if you're single, it's for the Lord. Next, we talked about Christian speech. We saw from the Bible how God expects believers to start talking to each other. So if you just got saved not too long ago and you used to curse it up, man, everybody knew you had a foul mouth, you shouldn't be cursing no more. Amen. You shouldn't be lying no more. In other words, basic stuff on what I should start doing with my speech. Then we talked about attitude. A lot of us used to just be angry at everybody else. We used to be very emotional. We take things too personal from people all around the world, and maybe get a little too quick, if you will, a short fuse, and then, bam, we let out or we don't talk to people. As a Christian now, we should be quick to forgive. We should be slow to speak and quick to listen, right? So we're learning now as a believer, these are things that we should start working on: attitude, speech, dress, communication. We talked about Christian responsibilities and duties as members of the body of Christ, how we're all priests of God as Christians. Regardless if you're male or female, as a Christian, we're all one in Christ. We know that the New Testament has given structure and order for the church assembly, that there's a pastor that oversees the assembly of men and women, but all of you are members, all of you are priests, all of you have responsibilities when you assemble together. All of us have a command to give financially. All of us have a command to assemble on the first day of the week. All of us have a command to evangelize the world. All of us have those responsibilities, and that's what we should start striving for. So then, as a Christian, somebody who just got saved, those are things that you should start changing within your life, physically speaking, timely speaking, work-wise speaking, social time speaking, to honor your God in. And so what does that mean? I'll just give it to you first before we get to our next topic today, which is assembly. If I'm a Christian now, and I have a job, or I have physical duties that, of course, I know I need to provide for my family, but if my work comes ahead of me ministering, I need to start thinking about modifying my work so I can serve my God. I can do what he's commanded me to do with my church family, to evangelize and perhaps get more involved, if you will, with the participation of my ministry, because now my God should be more of a priority than my physical mammon to take care of my body. And you should trust God that he'll take care of you when you put him first ahead of work. I always made sure that I never worked on a Sunday, even before I became an independent Baptist, because I knew that coming to church was a command. I knew that coming to church was important. I knew that Sunday was the day that God wanted all of us to get together. And I made sure that every employer that I made sure with, you know how they ask you to fill out availability? Sunday, never. Why? Because that's the Lord's day. I always wanted to gather with my saints, no matter what. So now, as that responsibility and as that duty, now again, we should start working on that. It's not a sin if you do. Let me just preface that. You guys already know that. But what I am telling you is that that is a command. And as a Christian, those are one of your many responsibilities and duties. You should start making an effort to make sure work does not come ahead of church. Work does not come ahead of serving in your church. Work does not come ahead of evangelizing with your church, supporting your local church. That's some things that you should start realigning in time. Today, we're going to talk about assembly. Basic Bible Doctrines, Part 9, it is important for Christians to assemble. Why is it important? Because it's a command. It's a command. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's read together, starting here in verse number 1. The Bible says here, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the members that have come to hear the word of God today. I thank you for those that are making their way in as we speak, Lord. Truly is a blessing to see them come to church today. Lord, this day belongs to you. This assembly is to honor you. Our gathering is to honor you. The way we dress is to honor you. The way we talk to each other is to honor you. Lord, this is all about you, Jesus. And though we may not be large in quantity and physical congregation here, Lord, we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have enough Christians that can help each other through life. Lord, would you teach us today from your mouth, from the Bible, how we ought to respond to what we're going to learn today about responsibilities of assembling with each other. Coming to church when the church is supposed to come together. And all the expectations and all the duties and all the commands and all the roles that we play, Lord, teach all of us today, Lord, why it is you've told us to do it so we could be more like Christ, we could bear one another's burdens, and we could go out there corporately and collectively to do the work you've commanded us to do. Teach us today and help me to communicate these things to the church clearly. Help them to receive it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about giving. We're not going to talk about that today. We already know that as Christians, we are to financially support our local assembly with our giving. That is a command. Look at verse number 1, the collection for the saints. Even as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. So yes, Sunday, you're expected to come to church, and you're expected to give financially to support the church. Me and the brother were talking, what about if I give what I normally give and kind of break it in payments? Hey, that's cool. That's between you and God. But you're obeying is the point. You're obeying two things. One, you're assembling on the first day. And then two, you're giving of your finances, whatever you purpose within your heart to give to support the work. But we're not focusing on giving. We're focusing on the command to assemble. That's a command to assemble. Every one of you, by God, are expected to come to church on Sunday. That's the first day of the week. Of course, church, you already know, traditionally we meet on Wednesdays. Traditionally we meet on Fridays. Brother Carlos, can you show me where it says, thou shalt meet on Friday? It's not here. Thou shalt meet on Wednesday? Of course it's not here. But on the first day of the week, you better be here. Why? That's a command. But every other opportunity that we have to fellowship, why wouldn't you want to be at church? Why wouldn't you want to learn the Bible? Why wouldn't you want to congregate with Christians? What more of the world out there are you not going to be able to benefit from coming here for 1 hour just to get some Bible, just to see your Christians, just to pray for each other? You should. I admonish you. Are you going to sin? No, of course not. Are you in disobedience if you don't come to? Of course not. But will you benefit more? Of course you will. What is it going to work on you? It's going to work on you discipline, the flesh, your life, your time, all that. You understand what I'm saying? Today we're talking about what? Assembling. Look at verse 3 and 4. When I come, Paul says to the church there, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So he tells them, guys, when I come, get the money ready. And when I get the money that you guys get ready so we can go help out the poor Christians down in Jerusalem, whoever you guys approve, I'll take them with me. So what is church responsibility number 2? You all have a responsibility to be accountable to each other, but also to recognize who is strong in your church. Who's a faithful leader in your church? Who's a faithful member in your church? Who can you say right now within your church, if a pastor were to come to us and they say, hey, Brother Carlos, I want to take some of your members. Who can assist me with this? Who's approved? Well, church, you already know who comes here. Who do you say is a faithful member who comes to church, who gives, who's faithful and soul winning, that we can say, hey, brother, you can trust this guy or this girl because we all recognize they're solid? That was the church's responsibility, but you cannot approve somebody who's not going. You cannot approve anybody who's not congregating. So today, what are we talking about? Assembling. Assembling. It is our responsibility and our command to assemble with one another physically. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Let's read together now, church, starting in verse number 31. We're just going to go over some verses now that demonstrate to you that Christians coming together and assembling together is a command. You should be, and if you're not, then you have a problem with obeying your Lord and your Savior. Not the pastor, but God. We're not talking about the doctrinal aspects right now. We'll talk about if they're teaching right. I'm just telling you the basic building blocks. You just need to get to church is my point. Look at verse number 31 here. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were what, church? Assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In Acts 4, the apostles were being persecuted by the Jews for being evangelists. They were out there publicly preaching there in Jerusalem. You guys remember that? And the Jewish priests, they arrested them. They just threatened them, hey, guys, don't do it no more. You know, they got angry. But rather than cowering away and just kind of hiding back in the church building and not doing anything, no, what they did was they got together, they assembled, and they prayed together, starting at verse number 24 and all the way to what we saw in verse number 31. And you know what they prayed for together, church? Look at verse 29. They prayed that with all boldness they may speak the word of God together. It's not just the apostles' job. It's all the church's job to what? Preach the word of God. Spread the word of God. When we come together, you hear the word of God, you're receiving the word of God, this is building you up in your knowledge, but then what we got to do is take this, and when we get here, and we got to go out there into the world. But notice, assembling together, doing it corporately together, church, Christians assembled. They assembled. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Let's go to verse 26. Bible says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What's the context, Brother Carlos? Look at verse 25. Here is Barnabas, and he was looking for Saul, who's Paul. So as Barnabas went back there to the home country looking for one brother, he got him, he found him, he brought him to Antioch, to the city where the other brethren were gathering, and for a whole year, church, they assembled themselves together. Sundays only, Pastor? Mm-mm. Every single day for one whole year. Some of y'all don't even want to come on Sunday. Some of y'all don't even want to come on Wednesday. Some of y'all can come on Friday, and some of y'all can't even come for soul winning. Can you imagine early Christianity? The pastors, all the members, every single day for one whole year, fellowshipping, coming together, eating together, and then evangelizing together. That's what they did in Antioch for one whole year. Should we excuse ourselves? Absolutely not. Are we way watered down from the early days? Oh, yes, we are. Are we lukewarm compared to the brethren here? Yes, we are. I mean, yeah, we have a schedule, brother. We try our best with our flyers. We got three service times, right? This is modern times because it's just like a store. When are you guys open? From 7 to 7. Brethren, when are we here? Oh, 1:45, 7 o'clock. But that's just modern day stuff. This is just telling you when we're congregating here. Being a Christian is 24/7. Y'all get that? Being a Christian, this is a 24/7 lifestyle. But when we are assembling together, notice, for one whole year they did that, and some of us can't even come. Some of us don't even want to come. Wow. We got to work on that. Amen. Chapter 12, verse number 12. Look at here. Chapter 12, verse number 12. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and many were gathered together praying. Peter got arrested. The Christians heard about it. And rather than not doing anything about it, they actually all got together wherever they were assembling. They're specifically here in Jerusalem. And all the brethren that heard about it, they got together and they started praying for what? The need of one member. When one of us is going through something, we need to come together and pray physically, assembling physically. We started our first Wednesday of the month in prayer because of one brother who said, "Hey, brother, why don't we have a prayer night?" I said, "Bro, you're right. Let's do it. You lead it." He did. And we still continue it to this very day. That's powerful. And we should assemble together for prayer when a brother or a sister is going through a circumstance. Obviously, here's an apostle. He was arrested and God heard their prayer. It was awesome. He sent an angel down there. It was a blessing. Let's go to chapter 14. You guys already know I like to make it easy for you. Just going left to right. Acts 14. Let's go to verse number 27. We're just looking at some examples that tell you that Christians were assembling together, praying together, fellowshipping together, hearing the word of God together, and that's what we are commanded to continuously do even now in our modern times. Bible says here in verse number 26, "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Isn't that a blessing? Paul and Barnabas come back to Antioch because that's where they were sent out from for the labor. They came back and they all came together. They assembled and they just gave a praise report of their mission work. Together. Not by themselves. Together. Y'all are with me now. Chapter 15. Acts 15. Let's go down here to verse number 25, y'all. Verse number 25. Here we have an account of the leadership in the church in Jerusalem responding to a problem some Christians were having in Antioch earlier in verse 1, and they wanted to get the answers to their questions. And so they told Paul and Barnabas, "You guys go down there to get the answer, and then let us know what happens when you guys come back." And so they came together and one accord, as you guys can see here in verse number 25. And the Bible says, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good unto us," the scripture says, "to the Holy Ghost," I'm sorry, "and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." So they wrote a letter answering the questions that these apostles, these other church members had from up there. And look at verse number 30. "When they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle." Congregating together, fellowshipping with each other, being in the midst of your leadership to deliver to you the word of God and remind you of what our early apostles leaders told us to do concerning how to live, etc. That's what we do as believers. But I want you to go back up here, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. These leaders in the church in Jerusalem, they sent two guys to go back with Paul and Barnabas, Judas and Silas, and these guys were selected. Why? Because look at verse 26. They have hazarded their lives for Jesus. They almost died for just being a Christian, supporting the evangelism and the work of ministry there in Jerusalem. They were faithful. They had a good rapport. And that's why they were well-known and they were recognized in their assembly. And that's a biblical thing to do. That's okay. It's okay to recognize Christians who are serving God more than you, to support them and to financially support them because they can do the things that you're not doing. And that's fine. We're not talking about the physical inability for you not to do it. We're talking about their willingness to do it and you coming behind them and supporting them and say, "Hey, I can recommend this sister right here, brother. She's faithful. She comes. We can recommend her for this thing. We can recommend her for that thing." You understand that? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. If you haven't been convinced already that you should be at church, not just on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, of course, I can show you right now you should be. but you should be assembling with your congregation whenever your congregation assembles. You shouldn't excuse yourself from coming to church, no matter what happens, church, no matter what happens. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 with me now, church, in verse number 25. Bible says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's not just the pastor's job to remind you, sister, and to remind you, brother, yeah, I look forward to seeing you Wednesday. I look forward to seeing you Friday. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. No, no. As a matter of fact, you sisters, you should be texting each other, hey, I look forward to seeing you at church. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday. I look forward to seeing you on Friday. Brothers, we should, and you guys know, the guys know that I do, hey, I look forward to seeing you this day, and I hope that you can come out with me that day, because all of us have a responsibility and a role as members one of another. We talked about that. But we need to do that together, assembling together. We cannot function without each other. Yes, with all of your problems and with all your faults, God still wants you to be a part of me, and he wants me to be a part of you, because we need each other. So it's not just my job to remind you to come to church. It's your job to remind me, and it's your job to remind each other, because he's coming back. He's coming back. So the motivation is, we want to be found of our master obeying his commands, not our feelings, not our flesh. Amen? That's fair. James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. Let's read together here in verse number 1 and 2, and then we'll go back to some of the things that we do within an assembly. The Bible says here, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. What does he mean by that? Does the Bible teach that I shouldn't respect people just because of the way that it comes off when you just first read it? No, that's not what he's saying. This is regarding having favor for other people over others because of personal prejudice. In other words, I'm going to treat Sister Maribel just a little bit better than Sister Aileen, because we shouldn't do that. We should not treat others more pleasurable than another person because of our pride, because of sin, because your Savior, he doesn't do that. Jesus does not treat you any differently than he treats me, especially when we what? Assemble together. Now look at what he says in verse number 2. For if there come unto your assembly, what is the assumption there? You're assembling. You're congregating. So here comes in our church house, right through those doors, here comes somebody with a gold ring. We saw them pull up in the nice car. You know, he's got some good clothes, amen. They don't smell, you know. He smells good, as a matter of fact. And then there comes in that poor guy. You know, he has vile raiment. He's a little smelly, a little stinky. He looks bad. Some of us may be like, oh, man, watch out for that guy. Keep an eye on that guy. And ye have respect to him that worth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. Hey, sir, right here, man. We got you lined up. As a matter of fact, Giovanni's got your coffee. You wanted a latte? We'll make one for you right here, right there. Hey, homeless guy, yeah, can you kind of sit back there, dude, and, you know, kind of not to walk around. We don't want all that stink all over this place. We don't want to just kind of sit right over there, man, in the back. You say to that one guy, stand out here, and the other sit under here on my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves? Notice here. You just judge within you. You are judging what is acceptable and what is not, rather than considering, wait a second, what does the master want us to do about this? We are become judges of evil thoughts. Hearken, my beloved brethren. So listen up. So what are we saying here? When we're assembling with each other, we are not to have a favorable attitude towards anybody because of how you have a thought within yourself of that individual. Whoever walks those doors, they must feel welcome. They must feel cared for. They must have a compassionate approach from you, smiling at them. Thank you for coming today to learn more about Jesus, because you're not here for my feelings. You're not here to please me. You're here to please God, and I'm here to help you the best I can. And while I have my problems, while I have all my sin and funk going on, man, I'm just here to help you the best I can. Welcome. Do you want some water? Sure, I'll get you some water. There's the bathrooms right over there. Our goal is to be as kind and compassionate to anybody that comes to those doors while we assemble. because we should be assembling. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 5. Let me quickly touch on this, and then we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 5. Some of you may ask, Brother Carlos, what about church order? What about church discipline? You know, like, what about if Christians are not doing what they're supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to treat them a certain way? Aren't we supposed to kick them out if they're doing certain things? Aren't we supposed to kind of have guards on and certain things? I'm glad you may think that. Yes, God has given us orders on how to take care of each other, orders on how to assemble. And obviously, the pastoral position is for a male only, not female. Females should not be pastoring or teaching the congregation. Nothing wrong with women teaching the children, women teaching women, but males are supposed to be positions of leadership and other aspects of church government. But what about people if they're messing up on God and they're living in sin? And we know that. Are they supposed to continue to assemble? Well, rather than asking Brother Carlos what I think about that guy, remember, I'm a wretched man. Don't ask me. I'm prejudiced. But the Bible isn't. Remember, he does not respect the persons. He's going to tell us straight. Woo! Look at here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We don't want to go into all the story. Just know that some guy was having physical relations for the sake of the children that are here today. You guys don't understand what that means for the adults, with his father's wife. That's a bad thing. And this guy was going to church. And all the church knew about that one guy having relationships with that guy's wife. Okay? Verse 2, you're puffed up, not rather mourn, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from you. You're supposed to come to church, Christian. You're supposed to keep assembling, Christian. But if you are practicing a particular sin, believer, as a matter of fact, you know what? We're supposed to kick you out. But there's a reason for that. Let's keep reading. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit. What does that mean? Was Paul's spirit there? No. But his judgment, his thoughts. In other words, hey, Pastor Carlos, what do you think about it when you guys call us and talk to us about certain things? Paul already said, this is what I think about it, okay? Judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So that's right. If that individual is practicing a sin that God says he does not want that Christian to be hanging out with other Christians, it's okay for us to say, hey, bro, you can't come back. Sister, you can't come back until you repent of that thing, because that's what our God said. We're not treating you differently because we're not respecting persons, whether you're family or not. Friend, come on, you can't be doing that. But what if they repent? We'll read that later. He does tell us, receive him back. But keep going down with me. Verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for thus must you needs go out of the world. He's not talking about you with your unbelieving brother, or your unbelieving sister, or your unbelieving cousin, because they don't know any better. They're not saved. Man, hang out with them as much as you can. If they're not going to trip you up because you're chilling with them, try your best to be a light. Amen? That's not a problem. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a what? Brother. Oh, the Christian. Be, so that's a present tense. It's not a past sin. If the brother or sister, he already sinned a long time ago, he's no longer that guy. No, he fellowship, bro. You're not practicing that present tense. You understand that? Or covetous. Or an idolater. Or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. So yes, there are certain Christians who can do certain things. It's okay for the church to say, hey, brother, you can't fellowship here, man. You can't congregate. Why? Because you're being one of those guys. You're being sister covetous. You're being brother idolater. You're being sister railer. You know, you're just yelling all the time and doing all these crazy, come on. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not yet judge them that are within. So yes, Christians judge Christians for their conduct. Not their salvation. Not that they have a lack of a love for God. No. We judge one another pertaining to our conduct to maintain purity and what? Our assembly. When we all come together, when we're all gathered together as a family, we need to protect ourselves from brothers who can mess us up, sisters who can mess us up. And I'm glad that none of you today are like that. Praise the Lord for that. But them that are without God, judge, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So every single one of us has a responsibility to maintain care for each other, but what? Purity for one another. It's not just the pastor's job. It's all of our job to make sure that we're maintaining ourselves like that. Amen? Okay, 1 Corinthians 16. Let's talk about this before we close. I've shown you so far, church, that it's a command for you to assemble. I've shown you so far, church, that you have a command from God to come to church. I've shown you so far that, yes, for sure on a Sunday, like, you can't excuse yourself. That's a command. You got to be at church. Every other thing is tradition, but why wouldn't you? The principle, I can argue with you a little bit in love and say, come on, brother, you can come to church, man. You ain't doing nothing on Wednesday night. You ain't doing nothing on Friday. Come on and soul win, sister. You know you ain't doing nothing for 1 hour on a Saturday, man. You know that. But now let's talk about the approval of Christians from each other. Let's talk about, is it okay for me to recognize somebody who is doing something more than I am and that could help them do more? Yes, it's okay. It's okay. Let's come back here to 1 Corinthians 16. Other than the church is expected to give financially, in this particular case, we know that Paul was talking about the poor saints in Jerusalem. He told them, y'all better have that ready. But verse 3, when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Your King James Bible has this terminology about approval or letters or the sending of letters. And what does that mean? That's just an old school way of what you and I would do today, for example, in a text message, or some of you who have a secular job and they ask you to write an evaluation of somebody else, not a write-up, but, you know, like you're writing out something. All you're saying is, I am giving my verbal testimony on written format concerning that individual. And in this particular case, a letter, because this is first century, they didn't have no phones, amen? They didn't have no, what was the old Morse code? They didn't have all those old school or modern methods of communication. They just had a letter. How do I know you're a good guy? Well, I got a letter right here, brother, that said, Paul said, hey, this guy's trustworthy, amen? That's all it is. It is recognition, understand? But Paul said, whoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send. Church, it is up to you to recognize strong and faithful Christians within your assembly, to assist them, to guide them, and to promote them for the work of service, to aid them, to encourage them unto others. Let's get a couple of examples of these men before we close. Verse number 10. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So when Timothy comes to our church, Paul told us he is a serving Christian. He's not a lazy one. He is a faithful Christian. He's not a lukewarm one. You can trust him like as if I was coming, because he's doing what I'm doing. I recognize this man, and here is the letter. It's 1 Corinthians. Remember that letter? He is being recorded with his name and saying, hey, you can actually use this brother for a particular work. I'm approving him. I've judged him, if you will, and he's a faithful guy. But notice, it's because he started assembling somewhere a long time ago. Are you ready? Let's go to Acts chapter number 16. Acts 16. We can't be recognized without assembling with each other. We can't be approved if we're not coming to church. The way that you're going to be recognized, the way that you're going to be assisted, the way that you're going to be guided is when you fellowship. Come together, assemble together. And the leadership recognizes that, encourages you. And when there's a need over here, where there's a need over there, and I can't meet it, I can trust that individual within this church to say, hey, brother, I'm going to send this brother because he's faithful. He's a good guy. He's trustworthy. I'm going to send this sister because, man, she's been serving already. Well, report. Look at Acts 16, verse 1. The Bible says here, talking about Paul and his missionary trips, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, So, church, he wasn't just another Christian. God said he was a certain disciple. I wonder who the Holy Spirit today would recognize right now within our assembly. Which of you could the Holy Spirit of God say, that certain sister right there? Or that certain brother right there? Why? We're going to see in a minute why the recognition. Keep reading with me. God said his name is Timotheus. We know another name for him given is Timothy. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Here it is, verse 2. Which was well reported of by the one guy on the internet YouTube channel. Is that what it says? No. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Wow, that's cool. So Timothy, he was a blessing over here at this assembly that gathered in Lystra. Timothy was a blessing over here while he gathered over here at Iconium. And at both of these churches that he would fellowship with and help out, you know what both of these churches said? He's a good guy, Paul. He has a good rapport, Paul. Hey, Paul, if you want to take one of these brothers, this guy right here, Timothy, man, he was here helping us clean after our church service. She was here helping us wipe tables after a church service. Man, he was out there helping us pass out tracts, brother. I'm telling you, as a matter of fact, he went out of his way to get this one person on our way as we were leaving. In other words, the church, the brethren, the assembly recognized the faithfulness of one member, and that's why he gained the approval. Are you following me now? He was well reported of by the brethren from both assemblies. What is a report, church? Or to have a report of something. It is a written record, if you will. It is a testimony, if you will. It is a statement, if you will. It is something that has been investigated by a person sent to examine, to explore. As a messenger reports to his employer the activities seen, if you will, by the others, it is to give an account. It is to tell or to relate from one to another, publicly or privately, the acts or the conducts, if you will, of whatever is being observed. Timothy, he was watched by the Christians. Timothy, he was observed by the Christians. And he proved over time he was a good brother. Which of you today, church, can I faithfully acknowledge before other churches, that's a faithful brother, that's a faithful sister? What you're going to have to do is continue to demonstrate that every time we come together. It takes time to show somebody that I'm committed, that I'm faithful, but your deeds have to follow. In other words, it's pretty clear, hey, so far, there's no evangelistic work here, there's nothing here, so in that particular area, you may or may not be faithful, obviously. Does it mean you're not a Christian? No, because you're coming to church, you're praising God, you're worshiping the Lord, but I'm just saying on that work of service, I can't recommend you because you're not really doing it. But for helps, other things like this that we do around here, I could sure recommend you. You need some helps, brother, cleaning the church? Here's this one sister I can help you out with. You need some help with that? Here's a brother because, you know, he already does this. But I can't recommend this brother, this sister, why? Because they're not really doing that deed. You see, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not being unfair. We're just saying, you're just showing us when you come to church, if you're not doing that one thing, you're not doing it. That's all we're saying. I can't say that you are doing that if you're not. That's all we're saying. But Timothy, he was doing it. He gathered the report of the brethren around him. When we talk about having a well rapport, is that required for leadership? Is it required for me to have a positive testimony amongst others for them to recognize me for something for God? Yes. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. And then we're going to go left to right, talking about quickly, before we close, having a well rapport. Acts chapter 6. Let's read together starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, praise the Lord, a couple more people coming to church there in Jerusalem, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians and the Hebrews. Oh, not amongst Christians. Christians don't complain. Christians don't murmur against Christians. I'm going to point any fingers around here, you know what I'm saying? Right here. Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Oh, they weren't getting enough food. Can you believe Christians complain because they don't get enough of something? Come on now, anybody out there? Verse number 2, then the 12, now that's the apostles, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. before you start saying, whoa, why can't Peter come out here and help feed the church? Why can't, he's saying, guys, it is not reasonable that we should leave the ministration of evangelism, missions, studying the Word of God, to neglect this ministry, to come over here that any one of you guys can do, because y'all have two hands, y'all have two legs, and anybody can take a spoon, anybody can get that spoon and put it in this whatever thing y'all made here, this geisel, and then put it in a plate. Anybody can do that, amen? Doesn't take nobody here. You don't got to be a pastor to be doing that. Y'all can understand that? But he says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of what? Honest rapport. Full of the Holy Ghost. They got to be saved. And wisdom. Got to know a little bit about the Lord. Whom we may appoint over this what? Business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. And of the Holy Ghost, they chose Philip, they chose Prochorus, they chose Nicanor, they chose Timon, they chose Parmenas, Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. And then they said, okay, brothers, here's the guys that we select. Why? Because they have a good rapport. They have an honest rapport. They're saved. And just like you asked Pastor Peter, just like you asked Pastor James, you wanted to make sure that they're a little bit wise. These guys are the guys that we think would be able to assist us in feeding people. And look at that. They prayed and they laid their hands on them. Now, this is not a part of the notes, but let me just tell you real quick. Look at what the Holy Ghost said in verse number 3. Over this business to do what? Serve tables. Before you can expect to be a great leader, before you can expect to have the title and recognition of pastor, show God that you're faithful enough just to help clean. Just to help take out the trash. Just to help get waters. Praise the Lord for that brother who does it here for our church. Can you just show God and show your pastor, Pastor, I am faithful enough just to serve tables. I'm ready to do that. That was a prerequisite for these men before they became great men later on. Are you guys following now? So, yes, nothing wrong with going to a Bible school. Nothing wrong with studying some commentary. But if you can't just serve your church by cleaning up after, vacuuming for your church, cleaning outside of your church for those who have buildings and privates, you think God is going to recognize you for something else? No. What do I look for? I look for you being faithful in the little. Are you with me now? So yes, church, we are expected to assemble, and it is okay for us to recognize men and women within our assembly who we can trust and say, hey, they're a blessing. We all agree they're solid. Let's support them. Let's come behind them. Let's recognize them for their labor. Having a well rapport, good rapport, it's required. Acts 22, we're just going to read these quickly. You don't have to turn there. Verse number 12. Ananias, a devout man according to law, having a good rapport of all the Jews which dwelt there. Ananias had a good rapport. 1 Timothy 3, verse 7. A deacon was required to have a good rapport of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So if any of the men today wanted to be a deacon, you know what my job would be to do? I would ask them, can you give me some numbers to some non-Christians within your life? Oh, what? How many churches actually put that into practice? And God said, hey, we need to make sure that they are solid in the workplace. We need to make sure that that neighbor who's not saved, but they're just, you know, they're friendly neighbors. If I call them and say, hey, how about Brother Raphael? How about Brother Giovanni? How about Brother Felipe? Are they good? Yes. Awesome. You know what, brother? You can be one. Why? Because you have a good rapport before unbelievers. Notice, church, we need to recognize that. And then one more, 3 John. Look at to the right-hand side of that Bible, number 3 John. It only has one chapter, so a lot of the times it'll just say 3 John 12 or whatever. Let's go to verse number 12. Look at this guy. Bible says, Demetrius hath good rapport of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Isn't that a blessing? I want to be recognized, church, first and foremost by you as my church family, as a good guy. My goal is to show you and to prove to you that I'm faithful in what I say I'll do for you. When I say you can call me anytime, I want you to be able to put me to the test. So that way, when somebody comes to our church and they ask you, hey, Sister Maribel, tell me about this guy. Hey, Sister Brother Giovanni, tell me about this pastor. Is he on call? Yes. Has he been there? Yes. I want to be able to prove to you, so that way you can have a genuine and authentic testimony to say, hey, this guy, he's a good guy, brother. He has an honest rapport. And that's what all of our individual goals should be. Amen. That's what all of our motivations should be. Of course, we should all strive to have an honest rapport. And as we come to a close, what is the main message of today? Assembling. All of this church, this cannot be done without continuously assembling with each other. No Christian should depend upon social media pastors because they are not here with you locally and physically assembling with you, bearing your burdens, knowing your faults, knowing your imperfections, and still working with you through them all. You cannot depend on some guy or some woman you watch from a social media distance to be that local to you, because they're not. And that's not an excuse. There's a lot of Christians that I know from other churches that say, oh, I don't go to church, but I watch this one guy. Really, brother? Can you show me from the book where you're, that's okay? And they can't. And usually it's because they have a problem with themselves and God, because they can't get along with nobody. That's why when they're in the room listening to a man of God, and that's why they don't want to assemble with others, because they don't want to be held accountable. But I'm glad that you guys are coming. We ought to give unto our local assembly, show our love and respect to the brother who's over us in the Lord, that the Lord gave us as a gift, our pastor, if you will, socially speaking, to assist others. And lastly, let's finish with Apollos, and then we'll go to Ephesians 5 to finish our topic of assembling with one another. Remember how we talked about letters earlier? Remember how we talked about recognizing men? Turn with me to Acts chapter 18, and then when we're done, we'll go to Ephesians 5. Acts 18, let's finish with this one last guy named Apollos. According to the Holy Spirit, Apollos was a good man. He was a good man, not because he told everybody that he was, but because somebody else outside of his head recognized that about himself. When we seek that, it doesn't just come from self. It should come from other people recognizing that. Amen? You all know that. But look at here with me, church. Acts 18, verse number 24. The Bible says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, that's down there in Egypt, Africa, an eloquent man. So before he became saved, he was already a pretty respectful guy. He was eloquent. He was intelligent. He was a pretty nice guy. Mighty in the scriptures. He was studying the Bible. Come on now. Well, he came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. So he heard about the Messiah. He had a little bit of Bible knowledge concerning the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, so notice this guy, he just has an on-fire spiritual character about a man. Like, he just wants to go to church. He wants to be assembling with the brothers. He wants to be serving as best he can. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he doesn't have a lot of Bible knowledge. He doesn't necessarily know all the things about Jesus Christ and all the fulfillments of the Old Testament prophecy concerning who John the Baptist was pointing out to. But you know what? He came to church anyways. And what he knew about Jesus, enough of what he got instructed from John the Baptist and his disciples, he was involved. He was teaching. He was doing his best because he loved God. He loved God. He loved the Bible. He loved people so they can keep learning just with the little bit that he had. Men, I encourage you, try to be like this guy. You don't have to know much, brother. You don't have to have all of it, brother. But with the little you do, come. Teach and encourage the saints. Amen. Well, the Bible says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Humility lesson number one. Brother, when you do your lesson for the first time, and I sit you down and I critique your message, knowing that it was a good message, knowing that, first of all, I'm going to commend you because, man, praise God, you were faithful to help your pastor to teach the congregation. Awesome. But notice, when I critique and I instruct you on things that you can improve on your message, it's not for me to condemn the means of the message. It's me to assist you so that way you can have a little bit more knowledge about the topic that you presented to help you work on it for next time. You can be better and get better and you can get better. I can't tell you how many times brethren who have taught behind her, or even those other visiting, when I give them a little message in return about the thing they spoke about, I'm just telling them in love because I want to expound unto them that thing or that topic just a little bit better than what they came with. It was good. I told them, hey, that's a good message. But look, brother, you could do this just a little bit better. You didn't really have this thing connected with that thing, and that's why that means this. Oh, okay. But notice, Aquila and Priscilla, they took him. They met with him after church. They explained to him a little bit more about Jesus Christ. They clarified all the things he had already a little bit of light on. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, remember the letters? Exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. What do I want to end with? Aquila and Priscilla recognized and they approved of this one guy named Apollos. Apollos, he was already a faithful believer in general. We're not given much of his conversion, whether he was born again after they talked with him or he already, we're not sure. I'm not going to put anything there. All I'm just trying to tell you is that two Christians outside of this one guy recognized he had something. He was energetic. He was committed. He had integrity. He had dedication. And they just said, hey, brother, we want to help you. You already have a little bit of Bible, but we're just here to tell you, look, Jesus fulfilled it. And not only that, he received it. Apollos wasn't proud. He wasn't arguing with Aquila and Priscilla trying to say, oh, you think you know more than me? No, no. Thank you, Aquila and Priscilla. I get it now. You know what they did? They wrote a letter. Church in Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla here, yeah. Because remember, y'all, they didn't have cell phones. Y'all remember that? They couldn't just call them. Hey, brothers, yeah, he's coming over there. No, it was old school, right? They had to write a letter. But you know what they said? Hey, we hung out with this guy. We know him well enough now to know his manner of living. He's faithful. He's pure. He's not going to cause a problem to your church. As a matter of fact, he knows the Bible, and he wants to help us. He knows the gospel now. You guys receive him. So there goes Apollos all the way to Corinth. The brethren there at Corinth, they get this letter. Hey, guys. Aquila and Priscilla, Apollos, you're a good guy. Check. You going to church? Check. You like to soul win? Check. Man, brother, praise God. Come on in here and help us to do the work. That's what happens when a believer assembles with other believers. Believers recognize the faithfulness of one believer, and they can approve them, and they can encourage them to continue to do more for the work of the God because they're assembling together. And as we come to a close, Ephesians chapter 5, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 5. What are we seeing from today's study, church? I need to be assembling. I need to be congregating. I should try my best to be here every time the church doors open. I should assist my pastor the best I can when I can to help win the lost. I should give my finances to support the work of ministry. I should, as men in the church, get my myself as much involved in leadership to help teach and help, if you will, lessen the burden of the one man who's trying to do his best. I should forbear one another. I shouldn't necessarily be complaining all the time. I should come to church not to receive but to give. And lastly, as an assembly together, what does the Bible say? Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Christians cannot do that by themselves. You can't just do that by yourself. That's why we need to assemble. That's why we come together. That's why we congregate. That's why after church, man, we just hang out. We just talk. We just talk about life. It doesn't have to necessarily be 5 more hours of Bible, even though I know Brother Diego wants me to keep teaching the Bible for 5 more hours and Eileen taking notes. No, we can just talk about life. We can just hang out. Why? Because we're here. We're fellowshipping. We can bear one another's burdens. We can pray for each other. We can just chill and hang out. But notice, we cannot do this by ourselves. There's nowhere in the New Testament where Christians are commanded to just isolate themselves or stay within their homes or replace the local pastor with an online pastor. And no, that's nowhere in the Bible. That's just modern carnality, modern excuses. We all have a role. We know we're supposed to fulfill our roles. Some of you know that. And as you continue to do that, church, as you continue to remain faithful with the little knowledge you have, just coming collectively, assembling every time we get together, that's how the Lord's going to bless you. That's how brethren are going to recognize you, and that's how I can approve of you before another church and say, yep, if they ask me, who can you send? And I can send this sister right here. I can send that brother. And then if they come in here and they ask you, man, you should say, or you can say, man, my pastor, he's solid, he's faithful. He comes, he assists, he's soul winning, he's doing his part. And that is the goal that we should all strive to do, is to maintain that honest rapport, that good rapport, but it only can happen when I'm assembling with Christians. So with that said, I hope that you guys learned today's message on basic Bible doctrine. So coming from the perspective of someone who just got saved, the next step, going to church every Sunday. Going to church as much as I can when the church opens their doors. That's one thing that I should start doing. You're not going to necessarily understand all the doctrines yet, but as you keep going, you'll keep growing. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God. It sure does bless my heart to see all the saints that came today, Lord. Lord, every single one of them know that I love them. They know I've done my best to reach out to them, encourage them, make myself available for fellowshipping with them, bearing their burdens. God, they know that. They know how much I want them to do more for you. They know how much I want them to soul win with me. They know how much I want them to continue to be as strong of a believer as they can be, energetic. But even if they don't, Lord, I love them anyways, because that's the love that you put within my heart as a pastor over all of the saints. I'm glad that none of us are perfect. I'm just glad that they're coming. I'm glad that they're assembling. I'm glad they didn't choose to not come to church today, just to hang out by themselves where there's no benefit, where the devil can get in their ears and the devil's in temptation, God, can just start messing with their mind because they're not in church, but today they came. Lord, I know that pleased you. Lord, would you help us as a little family to keep growing, to keep loving, to keep encouraging? And I pray for the men of our church that you would stir within them desire to get involved with ministry, to help me, to teach and evangelize and so on. And thank you for the women that have been laboring with me. It sure has been a blessing to see that. Lord, we thank you for the rest of this day. Help us, all of us, to get back home safely, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, love you. God bless you. Please enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Amen. The Lord bless.